Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is based on daf Lamed Aleph. We left off on the top of daf Lamed Aleph at the Mishnah. So the Mishnah is going to discuss gathering wood from different places on, well, first of all, today's share is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank him very much for the continued sponsorship of the share. The Mishnah on the top of Lamed Aleph is going to discuss gathering wood from different places on Yom Tov. When do we assume that the wood is going to be Muktzah, and when do we assume that it's not going to be Muktzah, and that it's already been designated for the use as firewood on Yom Tov? The Gemara is going to talk about maybe there's a difference between light branches and heavy branches, because light branches are more easily scattered by the wind, and you can be, and you're less likely to be somech on them, that they would still be there when you go back to look for them on Yom Tov. And then the Gemara is going to explain the machlokas that appears in the Mishnah about ezuhu karpef. The Mishnah has a machlokas about what exactly is the definition of a karpef, and we're going to have an explanation in the Gemara of what exactly, how to precisely define that machlokas. And the Mishnah on the bottom of Amud Aleph is going to talk about chopping wood from beams and using various kalim to chop wood, which kalim you're allowed to use on Yom Tov to chop wood, which ones you're not allowed to use on Yom Tov to chop wood, what kinds of beams you're allowed to chop from, and what kinds that are considered muktzah that you're not allowed to chop wood from, even if you need the fuel for your oven. Then the Mishnah on Amud Beis is going to discuss if you have fruits that are inaccessible when Yom Tov starts, and then sometime on Yom Tov they become accessible. So do we assume automatically that they're muktzah because they were inaccessible when Yom Tov started, or maybe not? Maybe they're not muktzah for whatever reason, and maybe there's a chilik between Yom Tov and Shabbos when it comes to those types of things, when it comes to that which you would have deemed inaccessible, particularly when it comes to moving beams to access food. So maybe that there's a difference between Shabbos and Yom Tov as far as that's concerned. And then at the very end of the daf, we're going to talk about if you have a rope that ties down a cover to a hole in the ground, so how are you allowed to undo the rope? What are the different methods of undoing that rope? What's permissible? What's not permissible? Cutting the rope, unraveling the rope, different methods of perhaps undoing the rope in order to be able to open up the hole that's in the ground to be, you know, the manhole cover or something, in order to be able to access whatever is in that hole. So that's going to be the last discussion on the daf. So let's begin Lamed Aleph, Amud Aleph, at the top, at the Mishnah on the top of the page. So the Mishnah is going to, again, we're continuing the discussion of bringing wood on Yom Tov in order to use for a stovetop or for an oven. So the Mishnah is going to discuss the particular places and methods in which wood that has been designated for firewood, and you're able to use it therefore on Yom Tov, as opposed to other places where we assume that you don't have any smichus das to be able to use that wood, that you never had any plans to be able to use that wood, and therefore would be a violation of an isur of muktzah to use that wood. That's certainly the way Rashi understands that the real topic of our Mishnah is a din of muktzah, that which wood is muktzah and which wood is not muktzah. So says the Mishnah, mevi'in etzim min asada min amuchunas, that if you're going to bring wood, clearly, obviously, the wood is no longer attached to the ground. We're talking about wood that's already chopped before Yom Tov, so you could bring it from a field that's within the Tchum Shabbos if it's min amuchunas, if it's already been gathered together on Erev Yom Tov, because by gathering it together, you're showing that you're planning on using it for firewood. But you're not allowed to bring it if it's still scattered all over the field, because that you have no smichus das and erev yom tov to be able to use it, and therefore it's going to be considered an isur muktza. It's not something that you had in mind that you're going to be able to use. Uminar karpef afilu minam afuzar. But if you collect from the karpef, which is some area that's surrounded by mechitzos, then even if it's scattered throughout the karpef, we assume you have smichus das, that you should be able to access that wood, that you should be able to use that wood Yom Tov, and therefore that's not going to be muktzah. Okay, so now all that's left to do is define what exactly is a karpef. Meaning, the first halach on the Mishnah is that you're not allowed to get gathered scattered wood unless it's in a karpef. So you need to know what a karpef is in order to be able to apply that halacha. Ezu karpef. What is a karpef? Where we say that even scattered wood is mutter to collect from a karpef on Yom Tov. So kol shesamuch li'ir div Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda understands that it's anything that's very close to the city. That's where we assume that you already had das to be able to access that wood, and therefore it's not muktzah. But Rabbi Yossi Omer, kol shenichnasen lo b'posachas v'afilu b'toch tchum Shabbos, doesn't need to be so close to the city. Just needs to be within the tchum Shabbos, but it needs to be something that there's a key that you use to access it, meaning if it's something that's locked, that's under lock and key, it's in it's surrounded by mechitzos, and those mechitzos are closed with a lock and key, then we assume that you have das, that that's there for you and that's accessible to you, and no one else is going to take it. So it doesn't have to be mamish samachli, it doesn't have to be very close by, it just needs to be within the Tchum Shabbos, as long as there's a lock and key. That is the shita of Rabbi Yossi. So as I mentioned before, Rashi understands that the whole issue in our Mishnah is an issue of muktzah, that's the question over here, when you can and cannot use the wood. The reason not to use the wood would be a muktzah related issue. The Ra'ah understands that the isser in gathering wood from a field is an isser of ma'amer, which is a malacha. It's a malacha gemura min ha-Torah, and midina l'tzorach ha-chonefesh, even if it's mefuzar in the field, it's going to be mutter, but in a field they assert it midrabanan, because it's the derech to be ma'amer for many days, for a long period of time from just an open field. So there it goes, not to take from there at all, because that's like an uvdu d'chol. It's something that they would, that if you'd be ma'amer from an open field where the wood is all over the place, that would be something that you would only do once in a long time, and you'd gather enough wood to last you for a month. So we don't want you doing that on Yom Tov, or gathering in that way on Yom Tov. So even though Midal Raisa, it's going to be mutter because it's Ochel Nefesh, and you're allowed to do Ma'amer L'Tzorech Ochel Nefesh, Midrabanan, they don't want you to do that. So that's how the Ra'ah understands. The Maskana of the Gemara, where the Gemara is going to say that they only allow if it's Mechunas in a Karpeif, because they hold that even in a Karpeif, it's normal to take for just one day at a time. But on Yom Tov, because people are rushing to the Suda in order to be marbe b'simchas Yom Tov, and people don't even take enough for what they need for the rest of Yom Tov at one time, so it's going to look like you're being malakeh shalol l'tzorech Yom Tov. But that which is mechunas in a karpeif, that's like eitzim that's already in your rishus, and that's going to be mutter. That's how the Ra'ah explains the hemshich of the sugi, which we're going to see soon. Now the Mishnah Berurah in Siman Tav Kuf Aleph explains within the Shita of the Shulchan Aruch that the issue is, because to go out to a field to gather Eitzim is a maisa chol, and even though there's no chashash that it's going to be maybe l'day malacha, a lot of times the chum make a gezeira on something that doesn't relate directly to a malacha. It's just uvda d'chol. It's just something that's a maisa chol. Meaning, most often when you have dinim d'rabanan, the dinim d'rabanan relate to a concern that either a concern that by doing this you're going to come to violate a malacha, or that this mimics a malacha, that it looks like a malacha, and it's in what you're doing. But every once in a while, it's just uvda d'chol. It's just the kind of thing that they assume is a weekday activity, and that's how the Mishnah Berurah understands the sheet of the Shulchan Aruch in terms of gathering the wood. What the issue is with gathering the wood. Now we said that machlokas between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, whether you're allowed to gather only from that which is samuch le'ir, or you're even allowed to go collect wood from that which is bitoch tchum sham. Well, once it's talked Chum Shabbos is considered far, so what's the shear of Samuch? How do we define Samuch Le'ir? So the Rush writes, Samuch Le'ir is bi'ibura shalir, which means shivim amma. It's within 70 amas and a little bit from the city. That's another shear that we find sometimes called ibura shalir. That's where we begin measuring. Ibura shalir is, if you have two cities where the ibura shalir overlaps, so then they're considered one big city as far as Tchum Shabbos is concerned. So ibura literally means the pregnancy of the city. It's just like a pregnant woman's belly protrudes a little bit, so the city is considered to protrude a little bit further out within the Ibura Shalir. The Meiri understands that wouldn't be called Samach Le'ir. Within Ibura Shalir, that's Mamish, the city itself. He says, no, Samach Le'ir means the Ginos that are near the city, that's called Samach, meaning there are gardens that are used by the Bnei Ha'ir, even though they're on the outskirts of the city, but they function for the people of that city, so that's called Samach Le'ir. And it's more about the functionality than a particular sheep of exactly a particular distance. In the Hasagas of Haravid in Hilchos Yom Tov Perek Beis Halacha Yudalid, the Ravid writes that Eino Samach Le'ir means the Sofa Tchum, and he's and the Magen Mishnah is Medayik that up until more than half of the Tchum is considered Samach Le'ir and would be Mutter. That maybe that's how you measure it. That if Tocha Tchum is the Shita of Rabbi Yossi, so maybe Rabbi Yehuda's Shita is half that much, half of the Tchum Shabbos. I don't know where that comes from, but that's the shear that he gives. You got to give something, because the Mishnah is assuming something when it says some clear. So those are the various shitos in the Rishonim. Says the Gemara, Am Rabbi Dumar Shmuel, Ein Revin Eitzim Elamin Amuchunasin Shebekarpef. You're only allowed to bring wood from that which is gathered together in the Karpef, meaning you need two Tarti Lemalyusa. You need it to be the you need two things, two indicators to show that this is Muchan for use on Yom Tov. It has to be Mechunas, meaning piled together, where you gathered it together prior to Yom Tov, and it has to be in a karpif, which is a makom mishumar. It's a protected area where you don't have to worry that other people are going to come and take it away. But if it's scattered, even in a karpif, since it's scattered, we assume you didn't have any das to use it. And if it's in a field, even if it's mechunas, even if you gathered it together, we assume you don't have the smichus das, that it's secure enough that you're going to rely on being able to use it. So the only way you're going to be able to use it, says Rav Yudor Shmuel, is if you have both arrows pointing in the positive direction, right? The idea that it's gathered together and it's in a protected area. So ask the Gemara on Rav Yudor Shmuel, v'ha'anantran, but our Mishnah says, min ha'karpef v'afilu min ha'mfuzarim. Our Mishnah said, you're allowed to take from the karpef. The first line of the Mishnah said, v'vi'in etz min ha'sadim min ha'mchunas, u'min ha'karpef v'afilu min ha'mfuzarim, that you're allowed to take from a karpef even if it's scattered around. So it sounds like you don't need Tarti the Malyusa, that even just the fact that it's in a karpif is going to be good enough. So says Gemara, you're right, that's what the Mishnah says, and the Mishnah is against what Rabbi Yudah Mishmuel says, but Masnis and Yechidaihi. Our Mishnah's understanding of how we paskin reflects the Shita of Adas Yachid, and Rabbi Yudah Mishmuel's Shita reflects a majority opinion. Where do we find our Mishnah reflects Adas Yachid? The Tanya, we have a Bryce as follows, that Omer Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, who is a Das Yachid. That's the key over here. He's the Das Yachid. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar, what's going to happen is we're going to have Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar understands the Machlokas Beisham Beisilil to be about one thing, and the Chachamim understand the Machlokas Beisham Beisilil about to be another thing. Now, as far as Halacha is concerned, of course, Beishamai is not part of the Cheshbon over here. We're going to mention it just to confuse us, but I mean just to get the fuller picture, of course, but Beishamai is not really part of the Halacha over here. What we're interested in is what is Shitas Beisilil. So Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar has one understanding of Shitas Beis Hillel, and the Chum have another understanding of Shitas Beis Hillel. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's understanding of Shitas Beis Hillel is a Das Yachid's understanding of Shitas Beis Hillel. That's what our Mishnah was following. The Chum's understanding of Shitas Beis Hillel is the Rabbim's understanding of Shitas Beis Hillel. That's what Rabbi Damar Shmuel was following. So here it is. Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar. Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's understanding of the Shitas Beis Hillel is as follows. That lo nechlu Beisham Beis Hillel alam ufuzarim shabasados sheim nevi'in. There's certainly no machlokas when you have both arrows pointing in the negative direction. It's scattered all over the place. It's out in the field. It's not in a carpet. Of course, everyone's going to agree you're not allowed to take wood from there. And al mechunas and shabakarpif shemavian. There's also no machlokas, and this is chiddush. There's no machlokas. Everyone's going to agree that when you have both arrows pointing in the positive direction, tarti l'tivusa, it's not only gathered together, but it's even in a karpif, in a secure area, that you're for sure allowed to take wood from such a place. Al manechluku, the machlokas v'sham beisilal is al mechuzar and shabakarpif v'al mechunas and shabasados. If you have one factor pointing in the positive direction and one in the negative direction, where it's either secure but scattered, or it's gathered together but not secure. So that's where Shabishami Omim Lo Yavi, Ubeisilom Yavi. That's where Bishami is going to say you're not allowed to gather from, and Beisil is going to say you are allowed to take from, you are allowed to access such wood. So when our Mishnah says that you're allowed to collect from a karpe, Fafilu Minam Mufuzar, that's Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar's understanding of the Beisil, that you only need one arrow pointing in the positive direction. You only need Chadal Tivusa. You only need one of the factors that either it's in a karpif or it's mechunas. But the rabbim disagree. The rabbim who don't appear anywhere, but the fact that Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar has a presentation of Beisham Beis Hillel implies that there's a rabbim that has another presentation of Beisham Beis Hillel. So that unstated presentation of Beisham Beis Hillel is the shita of the rabbim, understands that Beis Hillel is only going to be mekel if you have tarti l'tivusa, if you have both factors working in your favor, that it's both gathered together and it's in a protected area in a karpif. Karpev. So says Rav Yudom Shmuel, I'm paskening like the rabbim who never state their opinion, but the silent majority. That's who I'm paskening like. Okay, so now the Gemara mentions that there are certain types of wood that even if it's mechunas, even if you have it all gathered together, you're still not allowed to access it on Yom Tov. So Amar Rav Ali Kanim Vali Gefanim, if you have very light types of wood, Aval Gavda Mechanfi Luhu Mosvi, even though you've gathered them together on Erev Yom Tov, kiven di madli zika mevadiluhu, since if a wind would blow, it would scatter all over the place, so kemfuzarim dami vasurin, then we consider it as if it's already scattered, and it's going to be asur to bring from them, because we assume that you don't really have das to be able to access them, because you know that a single wind will scatter it all over the place again. But if you took something heavy and you put it on top of the pile on Erev Yom Tov, so then even though by its nature the wood is very light and can easily scatter, but you've done something to secure it. So if you've done something to secure it, to make sure that it's not scattered, then again, provided that it's gathered together, provided that it's in a karpef, then it's going to be okay. So now the Mishnah said Ezu Karpev. So the Mishnah, the second part of the Mishnah just had a machlokas what the definition of a Karpev is, where Rabbi Yehuda said it's anything that's samach li'ir, and Rabbi Yossi says no, it's anything you access with a key, even if it's only within Tchum Shabbos, but not samach li'ir. So the Gemara is going to try to understand this machlokas, meaning do Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi, neither one is machmir or mekil, they just have two totally different definitions. Now one of them says there is only one factor, and that is proximity to the city. And the other one says, no, there's. I agree there's only one factor, but proximity has nothing to do with it. The only factor is key access. It needs to be something that's only accessible with the key. That's one way of understanding the machlokas. Or maybe no. Maybe there is a chumra and a kula over here. Maybe one of them requires two criteria, and the other one only requires one criteria. So one of them is being more machmir, the other one's being more mekil. So that's the Gemara's question. Yibayiluhu. Hey, chikamer, what does Rabbi Yehuda mean to say when he says that as long as it's samach le'ir, kol she samach le'ir, but he also holds v'hu dislei posachas, he holds you also need a key, and he's just being very machmir that something is only a karpef if it has both, if it has tarti l'tivusa, that it's in both in close proximity to the city, and you only have access to it through a key. V'as Rabbi Yossi l'meimar kivin dislei posachas hafilu b'toch tchum Shabbos nami. And Rabbi Yossi is coming to say, no, there are no two criteria. There's only one criteria. Key access is the only criteria. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi is being more makel in terms of how he's going to define a karpef. O dilma, or maybe no. Hachi kamar. Maybe what Rabbi Yehuda means to say is, kol shesamach li'ir bein dislei posachas bein dislei posachas. Rabbi Yehuda doesn't hold key access is at all significant. There's one factor, and that is smichus. How close is it to the city? Vas Rabbi Yossi the Meimar, and Rabbi Yossi comes to say, afilu b'toch tchum Shabbos, even if it's not close at all to the city, I'm not concerned about proximity. Davka dislei posachas. I also agree there's only one factor, but it's a different factor. It's about whether there is a key or not. Avales le posachas, afilu samach li'ir nami. And if there's no key access, even if it's right next to the city, you're not allowed to bring Eitzim from there on Yom Tov, because if you can't lock it, you have no smichus das that you're going to be able to use it on Yom Tov, because you're always going to be afraid that other people are going to come and take it, and therefore it's going to be aser. So according to this tzad, Rabbi Yehuda holds there's no chiluk whether there's a key or not. Rabbi Yossi holds there's no chiluk whether it's close to the city or not. Each of them have a different factor that they look at to define a karpef. So that's the shayla. How do we understand this machlokas? Is it that Rabbi Yehuda is more machmir and requires both criteria, and Rabbi Yossi says, no, only one of the criteria is necessary? Or is it that, no, they just have separate criteria, but nobody's more machmir or more mekel? So Toshima says, well, I'll bring a raya. Midiktani Rabbi Yossi Omer kol shenichnasan l'b'posachas v'afilu b'toch tchum Shabbos. From the fact that it says, Rabbi Yossi holds, as long as you can access it, even if it's within the tchum Shabbos. If you're going to say that according to Rabbi Yossi, when it's close to the city, it's mutter dafka, when there's key access, so then why does he say, afilu b'toch tchum Shabbos, to be mechad meaning to be mechadish that it's mutter even if it's further away from the city? He could have just said kol shenichnasan lo b'pesachas, meaning if the only criteria is key access, then he just should have mentioned key access. He did not have to mention distance from the city. And we would know that it's mutter even if it's further away from the city, because from kol, he could have said kol karpef, whether it's, and that means every karpef, whether it's close or far from the city. When he says v'afilu b'tochum Shabbos, he must be telling me something, that the fact that it requires a posachas, that's only when it's b'tochum Shabbos. But samachli ir mamish, if it were even closer than b'tochum Shabbos, maybe Rabbi Yossi is saying you don't even need a posachas. Maybe Rabbi Yossi is saying one or the other criteria would be good enough. So shmamina Rabbi Yossi tarti lukuluka amar, where Rabbi Yossi is saying not that there's only one criteria and that criteria is whether you have a key, that there's an additional single criteria that could also help, that just like you, Rabbi Yehuda, hold that being samach le'ir is good enough, so I hold that being samach le'ir is good enough, and also just key access is good enough. But based on that, we can understand what Rabbi Yehuda really meant, that Rabbi Yehuda was matir, that Rabbi Yehuda's matir samach le'ir even if there's no key access, because the sole koveya is of the smichas das of the person, according to Rabbi Yehuda, is whether it's near the city or not. Because if Rabbi Yehuda was more machmir and he required tarti l'mal yusa, he required both factors working in your favor, that it be in close proximity and that it be only under key access, so why does Rabbi Yossi have to say kol shenichnasan lo b'posachas if Rabbi Yehuda has that criteria also, if that was part of Rabbi Yehuda's criteria? So you wouldn't have to say afilu b'tochum Shabbos, according to Rabbi Yossi, it's mutter even when it's further, when there's a posachas. So it must be that according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're not talking about when there's a posachas. And therefore, Rabbi Yossi had to introduce the factor of a posachas. So essentially, the way it turns out, what the Gemara is saying is that according to Rabbi Yehuda, there is one factor that you look at, and only one factor, and that is how close is it to the city. If it's somewhat clear, I don't care, key access, no key access, there's only one factor that matters, how close is it to the city? And comes Rabbi Yossi, and he's a little more makel. He says, you're right, being somachli ir is enough to be makel, but there's another tzad to be makel as well. You still have a second shot, even if you're not somachli ir, and that is it only under key? Is it only under lock and key? If it's under lock and key, then even if it's not somachli ir, that's also good enough. Somachli ir doesn't need to be under lock and key, and if it's under lock and key, even not somachli ir is good enough. Amar of Salam Rabbi Yirmiya Halach Rabbi Yossi Ula Hakel, that we pass on like Rabbi Yossi. And that, like our understanding of Rabbi Yossi, that he's come to be more makel than Rabbi Yehuda, and is saying that it's mutter in when either of the criteria is met. Okay, so now the Mishnah goes on to discuss taking wood on Yom Tov in order to use it for your firewood, in order to use it to cook food on Yom Tov. So the Mishnah is going to discuss dinim of muktzah, but also it's going to talk about the types of kelim that the chachamim allow you to chop the wood with. So ein mevakem etzim lo min hakoros v'lo min hakoros shish for b'yom tov. If you have beams that are set aside in order to be used for construction, and then you decide in Yom Tov, I could use some extra firewood, so let me just go to the construction site and I'll take some of the beams, and I'll find new beams for construction tomorrow, but I'm going to take some of the beams that are designated for construction, you're not allowed to do that. That's muksa set aside for construction, and you're not allowed to use that for firewood on Yom Tov. Not only that, even if the beam broke on Yom Tov, and now it's no longer ra'ui to use for construction, so it's ultimately going to be used as firewood, but when Yom Tov started, it was intact. So since when Yom Tov started, it was intact, and it was designated for construction, so it remains muksa. Even this katzayil ben hashmashos is katzayil kuliyoma. If it was muksa for ben hashmashos, so it's going to be muksa for the entire day as well. So says the Mishnah Vayeter, the ein mevaken, when you are going to chop wood from a place that you're allowed to chop wood from, meaning a detached a broken beam that had broken before Yom Tov, let's say, where you're allowed to access that on Yom Tov, but still you have to be careful what tool you use. Lo b'kar, you're not allowed to use a kardom v'lo b'magera, nor are you allowed to use a magera. So v'lo b'magal, nor a magal. So kardom is some type of very all of these kalim are used, you know, dafka by carpenters and by wood choppers. These are significant kelim to be used for heavy types of work. But you're allowed to use like a meat cleaver, which is not really the proper kli to use when you're dealing with woodworking. But that's not a kli umnus, and that's why you're allowed to use it, because you're not allowed to use a kli umnus. All those things that you're not allowed to use because it's near a kimalacha, even though you're not actually doing a malacha. It looks too similar to malacha because they're such a kli umnus. So says the Gemara now, v'amrit resha ein mevakin klal. But wait, the resha said you're not allowed to be mevakeh wood at all. You're not allowed to chop the wood from the beams at all. And now the Gemara understands that in the second part of the Mishnah we start discussing what types of kelim you're allowed to use to chop wood, that it's going on the same beams that we said you're not allowed to chop from in the resha. So what happened in the middle over there? When did it become mutter to chop wood in the middle of the Mishnah? So when I read the Mishnah, I added in an explanatory line, which the Gemara does right now. But the Gemara's initial understanding is it's just you're talking out of two sides of your mouth. You say you're never allowed to chop wood from these beams. Oh, but when you do chop the wood, what do you mean when I do chop the wood? I'm not allowed to. Now you got to add a little line in the Mishnah. You're not allowed to chop from beams that are lined up and arranged in such a way that they shouldn't warp, they shouldn't bend, because that a person certainly is intends to use only for binyan. He doesn't intend to use it for firewood. Nor from a beam that broke on Yom Tov itself, because given the skatzay lebenashmashos skatzay lekuliyoma, when Yom Tov started, the beam was intact, and it's therefore muktza for binyan, so you're not allowed to use it for other things. Aval mevakim minakorish nishbra me'erev Yom Tov. That's the line that we add in. But you are allowed to be mevakeh. You are allowed to chop some wood from a beam that had broken prior to Yom Tov, where it was no longer usable for binyan already when Yom Tov started. Ah, so now it's not muktzah when Yom Tov starts. Now I'm allowed to use it. Oh, okay, now that I know that there's a way that I'm able to access wood and chop wood off of a beam, how do I do it? So that's the second part of the Mishnah. Ukshein mevakin, ein mevakin lo bekardom, lo bemagol, lo bemagera. You don't use axes and saws and these kinds of things. Ella bekofitz, you only use like a meat cleaver. Tanya namiachi, we have a brisa that says like Shmuel that the reason for the yisur in the resha is because of muktzah. It's not because of the tircha of chopping. No, you're going to be allowed to chop as long as you use the right kli. It's only because of muktzah, because these beams are designated for binyan. So if you're able to find beams that are not designated for binyan, then you're going to be okay. The brisa says ein mevakim etzim lo min asavra shel koros v'lo min akoros shnishbra b'yom tov l'fi sheinu min amuchan. It says explicitly that the whole issue with taking wood from beams that are arranged for at a construction site, even if it broke sometime on Yom Tov, is because Eino Min HaMulchan, it's because of a Muktzah issue, and that's the entire issue. And then said the Mishnah, V'lo B'Kardom. The Mishnah said, okay, now that you're going to be chopping, you're not allowed to use a kardom, you're not allowed to use an axe. So Amrav Chinna Bar Shlami, Mishmei D'Rav, Lo Shanu Ela B'Nakvus Shalom, Avol B'Zachrus Shalom Mutter. That's only if you're using the female side, but the male side is Mutter. What does it mean, the female side and the male side of an axe? So apparently, one side is, on a typical axe, I think it's like this, right? One side is very wide and the other side is much narrower and it's sharp on both ends. So when we say that you're not allowed to use a kardom, that's only that you're not allowed to use the wider side, because that's for real malacha. That's malacha sumnus, to use the wider side. But to use the narrower side, that's like a meat cleaver. It's just a narrower blade. That's going to be mutter to use. So it says, Marpshita, Bekovitznan. Of course you're allowed to use the narrower side. That's exactly what we said you're allowed to use. A meat cleaver you're allowed to use. So the narrower side of an axe you're allowed to use. So says Marnano, Mal Detema, I might have thought, Hanimili Kofitzl Chudei, that's only if it's a single-use utensil. Meaning, just because you have a Swiss Army, and has a million different functions, you're not allowed to use even the mutter functions on something that has a million. I would have thought that only when you have something that has a single function and it only has a tzad zachrus, it only has a narrower blade, that's what you're allowed to use. Avokardom, something that's a wider axe, that the kofitz aim amigo da haigisa aser haigisa nami aser. I might think that even though since we're dealing with something that has a tzad that you're not allowed to use and a tzad that would have been okay, that Migo, that you're not allowed to use that side of the Kli, you can't use the other side of the Kli also, and therefore you shouldn't use it. Using that Kli already looks like a Maisa Uman, and therefore you're not allowed to use it at all, even on the narrower side. Kamash Malan, that's what Rav Chinna Bar Shlamia was Mechadish to me in the name of Rav. That Loshon Al Benakvus, but Bezachra Shalom is going to be Mutter, even within the same Kli. So some have a different version of the same conversation. V'ika de Masila, some learn Rav Chinna Bar Shlamia Mishmei Rav to say Aseifa, that he made this comment on the Seifa, Elu Bekofitz, meaning not on the line where the Mishnah said what you're not allowed to use, but on the line where the Mishnah said what you are allowed to use. And on that, on the Kofitz, which you are allowed to use, the meat cleaver that you're allowed to use, Amrav Chinna Bar Shlamia Mishmei Rav, Lo Shanu Elu Bezachru Shalom, you're only allowed to use the narrower blade of it, Aval Benakvah Shalom, but if on the other side it's got like an axe blade that's much wider, no, then usher, that's going to be usher. But so it sounds like if you have a single kli that has two sides to it, you are allowed to use it as long as you use the right, the correct side. So says Mar Pshita of Aloba Kardum Tanan. Isn't it obvious that you're allowed to? Because it says you're not allowed to use a kardum. So since it's very wide, it's a kli uman. The blade is wide, it's a kli uman, and it's usher to chop wood with it on Yom Tov. So I understand that the heter to use a kofetz is only on the narrower side. So says Mar, no, that's a chiddush because I would have thought that that's only by a kardum because it's entirely wide and is not used. It's only used for melechas uman, but a kofitz which is made for wood chopping, and the other side is a kardum. So I might think that since the narrower side is mutter, the wider side should also be mutter because why would you use this kli and not a regular axe? The fact that you're using this kli that has both a narrower blade and a wider blade shows that you're not an uman, that you're not using real professional grade utensils. So Kamash Malan, therefore, tells me that it's Asr on the Tzad Nakva Shalom, because that does look like a Melechas Uman, even though the type of Kli that you're using also has a narrower side. Okay, now new Mishnah. Bayish Malay Peros. If you have a house that's full of Peros and it was closed on all sides without any Pesach to be able to enter into it, so whatever was with all the Peros in the house were totally inaccessible to you when Yom Tov started. Then V'nifcha, sometime over Yom Tov, an opening developed in the house. There was a breach in the house. So Notam Makam Abchas, you are allowed to take from those Peros. So the Gemara is going to have to say, we must be talking about a case where it would not have violated Soser Mida Oraisa to break open that house. Because if it would have violated Soser Mida Oraisa to break it open in the first place, then we would assume all the Peros inside are considered Muktza. So it must be that it would not have violated Soser Mida Oraisa, only Midrabanan, so it's not considered Muktza. So as long as it's Nifchas Me'elav, you're allowed to go access what's inside of it. Rameir Omer, Af Pochis Lechachilav Notel. You're even allowed to rip apart the house, you're allowed to breach it yourself, and take the peros. So says Gemara, what? You're allowed to breach it yourself? Amai, Vakas Sosar Allah. Why are you allowed to do that? Isn't that a violation of being Sosar? Oh well, and even the Tzorach HaChol Nefesh, you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to violate the Malach of Sosar. The Meiri points out that they could have asked even on the Rabbanan, why when it's Nifchas Me'elav, are you allowed to take the peros? It's Muktza, meaning since you weren't allowed to breach the house, so then it would have been Muktza B'Bein HaShmashos. But the Gemara is asking the more direct, stronger question, that you, Rav Meir, tell me I'm actually allowed to go break the place open? That's a stiras oel. How am I allowed to do that? So Rav Nechumi Barada, Amr Shmuel, Ba'avira Delivni. The Mishnah is not really talking about a real firm structure. It's talking about stones that or bricks that are placed one on the other, one on top of the other, without cement actually holding it together. So that's only an oel midrabanan. So therefore, for the sake of Simchas Yom Tov, they allow you to break through the oel midrabanan. But Enochinami, had it been an oel midaraisa, you would not be allowed to break through. So it says Mara Eini, is that really so? Amrav Nachman, Hani Livni Da Ayasr Mi Binyana, that if you have some extra bricks, you know, sometimes at a construction site they deliver the amount of bricks berevach that they think that you're going to need, because they don't want to run out. They don't want to do like hardscaping all around the shul and have like one stone that's left out for a couple of months, because that would be embarrassing. So they'll deliver like more bricks than you need, and then if you have a couple of extras, so you have a couple of extras. So that's a hani livni yasumi binyana. If you have some of those extra stones or extra bricks, shorila til tulina b'shabata, you're allowed to be metaltel on Shabbos. Why? Hol v'chazil mizgah lahu, because you can now use it to sit on. You could use it as a bench. Sharginu, when you arrange them one on top of the other, then vadayak tzinu. Then you're being megaladas that you plan on using it for construction, that you're makbid, and that you're not allowed to move it. So how could Rav Meir be matir pulling apart this brick structure when they put them one on top of the other? Isn't it muksa? So it should be asu midrabanan, at the very least, to take those bricks apart to be able to access the fruits that are inside. Meaning, all of this was just this faham of Nachman was just to emphasize that even if you can get around the issue of stiras ohel, because you're going to say that they're not cemented together, so it's not stiras ohel, you still have this additional issue of mukta, that it's going to be mukta because you clearly have designated it only for binyan. So Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Yom Tov, Amrav, lo b'Shabbos. You're right, but this is a special heter that we have for Yom Tov in order to enable your ochel nefesh, in order to enable you to access the food. But on Shabbos, it would be asur, would be a problem of mukta, so meaning we're more makel than the dinam of mukta when it comes to Yom Tov. Tani nam yachir, ameir omer af pochis lechadchil v'notel, b'yom tovam, rav lo b'shabbos. We have a brisa that says that chiluk explicitly, that when a mayor says that you're allowed to go and access it, he means dafka on Yom Tov and not on Shabbos. Now in Shulchan Aruch, we pask in this halacha about the leftover bricks from construction, that since you could use it as a bench or whatever, so then it's not going to be considered a muktzah. So Mishabru quotes an Eliyahu Rabbah that you don't even need to be miyachid them miyeshiva. You don't have to, like, if you have extra bricks from the construction, you don't have to say, oh, I plan on using that as a bench. No, just the fact that it's lying around there and the whole construction is done already and there are these extra bricks lying around, that means that it's miyuchad liyeshiva. However, he quotes that there are those that are machmir, including the tshuvas harash, that you need to actually be miyached liyeshiva. So there's the tshuva of Binyamin Zilber and the Oz Nidbru and Chelik Pei, Simon and Gimel, where this actually happened, meaning this is not such an abnormal thing, even Bizman Azeh, that they'll deliver a whole bunch of construction material. They'll use as much as they need, and they'll have some extras. So there was one of the big Batei Medrash in Eretz Yisrael, and they had some extra construction materials. One of the Bakrim moved over one of the bricks to sit and talk to his friends, and someone was passing by. He said, "You're not allowed to do that. It's muksi." So what do you mean it's muksi? It's extra. So it's miyuchad liyeshiva. So they asked Rav Binyamin Zilber in the Oz Nidbaru who is right. So he says, "Really, you should be choshish for the sheet of the Rosh that only if you're miyachid at lekach, you're allowed to use it." And he says especially nowadays that it's not normal really to use these things as benches nowadays they'll send it back to the quarry or whatever, I don't know where, but they send it to the next construction site. They don't leave it around and they don't keep it as a bench there for very long. So that's what Rav Ozen writes in Shuvah also, that it's hard to say that even Bizman Azeh that such a thing is going to be mutter. Bizman Azeh probably the Metzius has changed, that a truck comes a couple of days later, picks it up, and and brings it back somewhere else for the next construction site. So even though Medina de Gemara would seem to be mutter, according to the way Rav Rishonim understand it, it's not necessarily really mutter. Okay, so says the Gemara, Amar Shmuel, Chosomu shebekarka. If you have something sealing off a hole in the ground, you have ropes that keep the manhole cover on the manhole in the ground. Matir, you're allowed to untie the knots in those ropes on Yom Tov because it's not a kesher shel kayama. It's made to be constantly untied whenever you need to access. Aval lo mafkia. You're not allowed to unravel the rope. V'lo chotech. Nor are you allowed to cut the rope with a knife because because that's an Isser Stira, since the rope is connected to the ground, it's like a Binyan Shal Karka, so it's considered a Stira's Binyan Shal Karka. Shebekelim, but if these ropes are keeping a Kli closed, meaning not something that's actually attached to the ground, just a Kli that's not attached to the ground, then Matir Mafkia V'chotich, then you're allowed to undo the rope in whichever way. You can untie it, you can unravel it, you can cut it, Echad Shabbos V'Echad Yom Tov, and that's true both on Shabbos and on Yom Tov. So this Gemara is going in Shulchan Aruch Paskins that the whole Isser of being mafkia these chosamos is because of Soser is only when it's not meant to be unraveled on a consistent basis. Shulchan Aruch Paskins, but something that's meant to be unraveled or undone on a consistent basis is not going to be a violation of Soser, and that's the heter why we're allowed to open and close doors on Shabbos, right? Meaning l'chora, normally if you were to take a giant panel that has a peg that sticks out of it and fastens it really well to the wall where you can't really move it, you know, if you push it you can't really move it, so that would be a violation of bona midaraisa, and anytime you undo that, that's sosa midaraisa. So why are we allowed to turn the knob and open the door, or for that matter the post will say, why am I allowed to turn on my faucet on Shabbos and Yom Tov? Not only my faucet, even the main water line to my house, which you don't even do and undo all the time, but since that it was meant for that purpose, it was meant that's derech Tashmisho. That's the way it was meant to be used. So we assume that does not constitute a violation of Bona and Sos. And that's really the chiluk that Gemara is making over here. So Bez Hashem will pick up with that discussion about these ropes that keep things closed on Shabbos and Yom Tov. We'll pick up with that tomorrow. Have a good Shabbos, everybody.
Shabbos Shalom. You're on. A good Shabbos. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Shabbos.